The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, aka Dave from LA, and I just want to thank you all for listening today. Today is Friday, March the 11th, 2016. And just want to say I truly appreciate you all listening to Tando Radio Show and being a part of Black Talk Radio Network. Also, everyone, as you know, before we start the show, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Make monetary donations, donate your time, donate some of your cash so that the radio network can continue to grow and to actually mature into what it really needs to be for the issues that are at hand, so that other people like you, so that we can get other people that are like you and to feed them in the way and that they can actually be much more productive in their overall time that is spent here and the energy that they have. So how do you do that? Continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. You can support the network by making monetary donations. Donate some of your time. Donate some of your professional services. Actually develop programs and events that Black Talk Radio Network can be highlighted and featured at, and to give overall exposure to the network, because it's so, so important. Because what was done here at Black Talk Radio Network is the propaganda busting that the mainstream media likes to put out against our people, our families, and us individually. So it's so important that we control the overall networking in the news that's going on in the world, especially in today's times, in the times that we're in right now. So tell your friends, tell your family members, tell acquaintances, tell people that you don't know about the network so that it can grow and be a part of it. Engage. It's so important that we use our energy the proper way. And this is one way that it should be done. I really want to thank Scotty for everything that he's been doing and taking on the responsibility to do, you know, what he's doing. But let me tell you, it can go so much further and so much more can be done if more people will engage. You know, there are three types of people in this world. Pushers, four types of people, I like to say. Pushers, pullers, riders, and watchers. Scotty is a type of person that is a puller. That means you take it like for a hill. You take something like a burden or a cause or a movement, and you put it and you strap yourself to it and you'll pull it up the hill. Then there are pushers. Those are the people that help you go along the journey. They push and assist you. Then there are watchers where they'll just stand by and just watch you and also at times they become those that try to throw obstacles in front of your way. And then there are riders, individuals that will do nothing but get on board and go for the ride of it all so that they can benefit from it and not have to sacrifice anything nor feed the roots. Those are the individuals that just want to, or the selfish individuals that just want to consume and take. Those are the riders. You got to shake off all of those riders and either be a pusher puller in this whole thing so that we can get this where we need. And it requires, in any kind of pushing and pulling, it requires energy. So everyone, please engage and do something that's beneficial for the network to grow. The programs that are here at Black Talk Radio Network, you know who you are, you know what your capabilities are, and you know, use that in a very meaningful way so that the network and the shows can continue to mature and to reach more people. And it's so, so important. Okay, so with that being said, let's go to our Facebook page on Facebook.
Brother Dave, sorry to interrupt, man, but
you're good.
You were talking about this the other day, and I was wondering if you saw that Ron Paul article about the coming collapse of U.S. empire and saying that it will set the stage for a freedom revolution. Let me just read a quick excerpt, because he basically was just saying what you were just talking about, or you've been talking about, you know, not just this week, but in past weeks about the coming collapse. It says, here's just an excerpt. The longtime lawmaker predicted that as the U.S. government dissolves, it will be replaced by a simple system focused on individual freedom. What do we have today? We have a government that lies, cheats, steals, counterfeits, murders people around the world, puts people in prison without charges, Paul said, noting that the federal government violates all of the most basic rules of humanitarian interaction. And he goes on, you know, more in detail in the rest of that article. But I was like, man, he's saying the same stuff Dave been saying.
Yeah. And you know what, Scotty, it's like, because I was listening to the end of your show, and you were so right. If, you know, if you were to go somewhere and do what has been done, they would charge you with an act of terror. You would be a part of NDAA, the Patriot Act, and everything else. And this is really what's happening, people, is, you know, Ron Paul has said, and you know, well, you know, Scotty's been talking about this exact same thing since I've been on this network himself in so many different ways. Scotty brings it to you in a multifaceted way. And the thing is that we are being set up because we are not using our collective energy properly. And that's exactly what is going to happen. They are testing what they can get away with, and they are finding out they can get away with any and everything because there is no one to actually contend or to stop or demand or remove them from being able to do the things that they're doing. And it's a very methodical, step-by-step process. And if you ever want to see, I'm not a prophet, but what I do know is I studied history, and I can see what happened in the past in history, and you can see what's happening now. It is no different because it's the same agenda. It's the same agenda. And this is why this network is so, so important, because we don't bring you the mainstream news. We don't bring you the news that's being promoted and being subsidized from the corporations of this world. We bring you the news that is going to affect you either adversely or bring opportunities to you. And that's what the news is, so it's so, so important. You know, one of my a speech that I really, really like, and we played it here on Tando Radio Show, and I'm glad Scotty brought that up, played it, is the president and the press. In today's world, we don't have a press. We haven't had a press in a very long time, from what I'm talking about, from the mainstream, what you see on your television, what is being promoted from the elaborate studios, from the elaborate budgets where they go all over the place and to get these stories. What they're really getting is the propaganda. And not only that, it's even worse than propaganda. It's actually psychological warfare against you that's being used. Hitler used it. The Nazis used it. Mussolini used it. Stalin used it. And guess what? The Nazis of today are still using it. It's called the neocons. It's called the United States of America. It's called NASA. It's called all of these other things, because these are the organizations that were put together by the Nazis. Manifest Destiny actually begotted the Third Reich of Nazi Germany, and it just returned home to its parents at the appropriate time, right here under this, which you've been told that this is the land of a constitution, constitutional rights and everything else. And if you ever read the Constitution, you would know what it really is. It's a doctrine of enslavement. But they never taught you to read it to the way so that you can see that it is. That's exactly what it is. And this is so, so important. And this is where these things are going to start to unfold and adversely affect you. So, yes, yeah, Scotty, I was listening to the end of your show and you reading Ron Paul stuff. All of the indications are there. And the thing about it that's so damaging, and not is not just for, you know, the Black Talk Radio network listeners and Tando Radio Show listeners, they've heard it before. But what is really funny about this whole thing, have you noticed that we do not, you know, you can't really say that we are ignorant to what's going on, because we're not. We're not ignorant to what's going on. The things that we bring you here at Tando Radio Show or what Scotty talks about on his shows and Black Talk Radio Network, and none of these things, the stuff that we brought to you, should not be surprising to you at all. Not whatsoever. Why? Because it's blatantly put in front of our face. But what is the problem is that we are ignoring the reality of it. And that is the real problem. That's where we are having the real breakdown of ourselves. And we are allowing this to happen and unfold because the truth is there. But we don't want to look at it from a standpoint of it being something that we should change and have to alter and abolish and take control over our individual lives. And this is so, so important that we do these things, because if we don't, it will continue. Because I'm going to tell you what they've made popular. This is how they're able to get away with it. They made slavery very popular. Always talk about it in our, within our, you know, community. You know, it's, we've fallen for, and globally, we've fallen for, everybody wants a slave, nobody wants to be one. And until you cannot stand that type of living, that style of living, that tyranny and that oppression and that those bully tactics, until the point to where you stop what you're doing and you start paying attention to it and do something about it. Because, you know, they taught us in so many ways to hear a speech and to clap. Just to hear a speech and say yes. Expect the speech and expect the march, and that be the end of, and think that we're doing something. If you're not actively destroying the system and dismantling it, then you're condoning it. There's no other way around it. We have been taught to condone what it is that actually enslaves us all. And that is the perfect system to maintain slavery, is to deceive and trick or to get those that you enslave to think that they are free. And not only that, an act of furtherance is to get them to condone it and to participate in it by doing nothing, just worrying solely about themselves. And because of that has spread, and that cross-pollination has gone everywhere, and it's gone into every facet of our lives, if you really look at it. It's in the religious setup, it's in the economic setup, it's in the political setup, it's in the social setup, it's in our family setup. Within our own families, we have different family members in our family, and we treat different family members different because of this or because of that, because that's what we've been taught to do and to take advantage of things. You know, a lot of things that's a problem is that we want to be able to benefit from the system that has enslaved people for so long. As long as it benefits us, it's not slavery, it's cool. Man. This is the big trick. This is why when this U.S. empire falls, let me tell you something for all of you that are Chinese, that are specifically from China or from some of the Eurasian nations. Let me tell you something. The very people and the agenda that's going to destroy this country is setting you up for destruction also. Yes, they're going to display all of the ills of the different individuals. They're going to bring them to the court of public opinion and convict them. Yes, the things that have been done have been evil, have been wrong, and need to actually be done away with or eliminated, or has to and totally annihilated and dismantled by the people. But see, this is it. They're going to trick you to think that you are getting something that's owed to you because someone else did these things to you. But see, what the system is going to do is they're going to sacrifice them, and then they're going to slowly give you some of the things, some of the benefits of the enslavement, but the enslavement will not end. It will just transform and go in another direction. And how this is done is because they've destroyed cultures. If you really think about it, here in America, black people don't have a culture. They follow trends. It's a big difference. And they're going to destroy culture all over the world. This is one of the reasons why they destroy the rainforest and destroy the ecosystem, because the ecosystem is a fundamental necessity for culture. And they destroy it, and they develop their civilized cities, because that is the fundamental necessity for enslavement. The concrete jungle is one that enslaves. And this is really some of the things that we're going to be dealing with, and we need to actually look at these things from a standpoint of what the truth is, and not the agenda of upholding the falsehoods. Very, very important. So let me log back into, been having, like Scotty said, been having trouble in my computer, giving me trouble, but got another one today. Good. So I'm happy about that. Soon as get that all squared away, but I think it's really my internet that's causing me a lot of problems. But give me a second to get back in, everyone, and we can continue the show. But as I was saying, talking about people, the so-called yellow man, and people in China, and Asian, in the Asian people, don't fall for the trick. In the rest of the world, don't fall for this trick. Because anything that they ever give you is always death and destruction. Even when it's a very comfortable means, they'll give you the facade of wealth while they enslave you and ensure that your prosperity is lost. They'll give you riches. They'll give you their riches, which actually destroy your prosperity. Don't fall for it. The whole thing has to be dismantled. And it has to be dismantled on a community basis, because individuals have to first supersede the so-called governmental good of the nation. You have to destroy their nationhood, because their nationhood is all built in enslavement, and establish the individual and individuals and collective prudence and collective relationships with everyone around them, then you can build a garden. And you can build gardens in this ecosystem. So, very, very important. Let me get logged in here real quick. 1 second. Sorry, I couldn't do two things at one time. Man, I hate when this happens, but we move on and get on. But it's so important that we understand where we are, because then we can see what it is that we need to do in order to ensure that this overall agenda will not succeed. And it's very vulnerable right now because it's going into the phases of attacking people. And there's going to be many attacks that are going to come out. And in those attacks, if we can remain keen to what's going on, establish our own agenda and not give energy to it and give energy to something else totally opposite of that, our energy will supersede their destructive plan, even their nuclear power, their destructive nuclear power. And I'm going to tell you this, armies can never defeat the people. Armies can only defeat other armies. It's not been one army that has ever been able to defeat people. But when people support armies, that's when armies are destructive of all of the people, because their wage of war transcends the people's will. Very, very deadly times that we're living in. Okay, so I'm back on. Great. So glad to be back on here. Everything is good. Okay, cool. So I posted inside of Tando, and we're gonna only posted one today. Was real busy today. Busy week. And next week I should be back on my regular schedule. But a post inside of Tando comes from RussiaInsider.com. Says does not compute. This comes from RussiaInsider.com. Does not compute. U.S. asks for troops to retake Syrian cities. Unlike the Secretary of Defense, the Department of State, and the CIA, which are all seeing things with rage that the U.S. war against Assad is going badly. And basically, that was just a small captive. But read this article. It tells you everything. It tells you that they want to start the invasion of Syria. And this is going to, and it's really, they're giving us these stages that they're setting. This is all propaganda. It's all green screened. It's all falsehoods. It's all a production. See, in this one, you just don't always get to see the producer and the director, but you always get to see the action. And it's all false. What is happening now is that they want to start this so-called war in Syria, which is going to turn into a world war, because this is what these governments do, because in order to govern, you must rule. And when you rule people, what do? When you rule people, you take from them what is not owed or due, and you collect it for yourself. And so how do you do it? And one of the ways that they do it is through war. They set up these stages saying that this is Russia's side, this is the U.S. side, this is Syria's side, this is Turkey's side, but only people that are dying are regular everyday Joes that have nothing to do with the all fight. But now, because they want to be right, they've chosen a side, and they've chosen to engage in something that is going to actually destroy their overall prosperity. And from that energy of destruction, then the government seize more control over people, because then people start begging for them for a solution from a problem that they've created. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So this article basically tells you how close we are to this GNW, global nuclear war. And it's going to spark, I believe, within the next 3 years. Then the next 3 years, you will absolutely know from so many different ways that you are in a all-out global war. And you'll know because your everyday way of life will be completely interrupted, and you will be trying to survive every day because of the war. Literally survive. And that is going to be, this is their agenda, and they are going full. When I say they, I'm talking about those that control the system of enslavement. The decisions have been made, and the movement and the energy towards that, and they're giving life to the war. And that war is going to develop into a living entity that you can't see, but you can definitely feel, and it's going to consume physical life all over. and is going to consume people's talents, is going to take away from their abilities, is going to sap their energy and require that their energy worship them. How do they worship them? Because you're going to have to respond to it. But at some point, at the appropriate time, more people will wake up, like those that here are at Black Talk Radio Network, those that listen to Tando Radio Show, and they're going to see, yo, we've been had. And they're going to decide to do something different. And that is going to be a very, very powerful thing, where it's so needed. So check out that article and share it. Have a comment about it. Definitely do that. Today's show, I want to finish up the show that we had on Monday about in regards to voting. I wanted to finish that video. Very, very good. Then come back and talk about it and talk about some of the current events that are going on and what I think you need to do. And I think it's so, so important that we continue to see what's going on and continue to prepare, because not only do we need to prepare physically, we need to prepare spiritually and mentally. And we need to prepare ourselves to be able to look at what has been so destructive so that we can never, ever fall for that again. As I always say, remember what Sun Tzu said. If you don't know your enemy and you don't know yourself, there is no battle you could ever win. I would like to say it this way. If you don't know yourself and you don't know your enemy, you will commit your own suicide. You will give in to your own suicide, because you will develop and you will give energy to things that are going to self-mutilate you. It's going to be a self-mutilation, because you're going to be participating in practices that are going to destroy you. And so many of us have done it, and I have done it, you have done it, because we were born into this and we didn't know. But now that we are of age of being able to discern, being able to make a conscious decision on where we're going to take our free will, and this was done at a very young age and they've been suppressing it for so long. One of the first things that we need to walk away from is the suppression of our free will. You were uniquely created by the great creator God Almighty, and there's nothing wrong with you. It's everything wrong with this society. Stop looking at you and start looking at this society as being wrong, and start recognizing the beauty in you and start cultivating that. That is very, very important. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the ending part of this. I think it's like 45 minutes left of the video. Very, very, very important one. And then today I will post it inside of Tando Radio Show once it's over and done with. If you'd like to check it out again, then so you can see it and share it yourself. So at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#. And we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump into the video. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
The world will soon place you and your family members under geopolitical, economic, and social unrest. Are you ready? If your answer is no, then this is the opportune time for you to become informed, aware, and prepared for soon coming events. For only $25 per month, Become educated in the area of precious metals and disaster preparedness for your home and businesses. For more information, email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Because becoming an entrepreneur is very empowering, we would also like to encourage you in firing your boss. Learn the wonderful opportunities in the Forex market. Find out more about these proven strategies at www.imarketsliveinternational.com. The time has come that we become empowered instead of exploited.
You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and today is a live show, and we have a caller in queue. I want to definitely go to this caller before we go to the video. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hey, Dave, Brother Davis, man, caller from Pennsylvania.
Brother Davis, I just want to say thank you so much on Wednesday. I couldn't get back in time. My best friend came in for a funeral here, and I just got so behind in time. But I just want to thank you, Brother Davis, for carrying on the show. And I truly, truly appreciate you and Sister Davis. What's going on, Brother Davis?
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something, Dave. It's always good to hear a friend's voice. And understand how I say that, people, because this is going to make a difference in the future. Dave, when did this show? It was the focus is on self and how you take control of self again, because people don't understand that they have to change their dynamic to be able to make a stand that's going to work for the group. And when I say for the group, that's any community connection that you have or any way you have your group set up. Literally, we have to focus on the importance of placing a priority on self so we can make decisions that are most suited to fit the needs of self. And we're not taught that way. The programming is teaching us to be so dumbed down and go with the flow. But we have to change that dynamic. And I just wanted to point that out before you put this video on, because at the end, you're going to give them some concrete things that they can do, but they must understand you got to change your belief system and operate on the most simplistic level. It's not difficult. But unless you take on that responsibility, you're going to fall right back in to the whole go along to get along. And that is what is killing us. I just wanted to add that, brother, once again, you're bringing a dynamic show and a dynamic topic and something for everybody to get something out of. So I'm going back in the queue and listening.
Wait, hold on, Brother Davis. You know, Brother Davis, as always, spot on. You know, one of the things, there was a conversation that we had about a year and a half ago, and we were talking on the phone, and you said something that I'll never forget. And it said that we have to remember that we have to work on the universe of you.
Absolutely.
And that is so true. And we have to realize that we are a universe and we have to stop diminishing ourselves to what the system has told us who we are in our cage, because they minimize us in so many ways. And it's a psychological process, and it's a actual, there's, you know, steps that are taken that are very, they're very unique, and they're very methodical in breaking down our individual will. Because when we surrender our will, and they start with us since when we're children, they really do it to the parents, and they teach the parents to be great destroyers of wills of our children from even at birth, because what's the first thing that they do with the child? They take the child, then they fingerprint the child.
Absolutely.
Then they mark the child, put a tag on the child. And I ask you something. Have you ever seen cattle when it's first bought? What is it done? It's tagged. Because tagging someone gives ownership up to someone else. And we have to start to establish the universe of self. And I love you, Brother Davis, you and Sister Davis so much. And we're going to jump in this video. And at any time, Brother Davis, if you want to chime in, definitely do. And Brother Braggs, I'm looking to hear from you, too. I hadn't talked to you in a little bit, but I don't hear from you today on the show. Definitely going to give you a call just to check up. Haven't talked to Brother Braggs in a little bit also. But Brother Davis, thank you so much, because it's what we really need. Because, as you know, there's going to be some great opportunities from the fear that they're going to tell you that there aren't. And it really, really are some great opportunities for us to change everything.
Absolutely. And see, we have to understand that they've been doing this methodically, chemically, and technologically for a while. They've literally attacked your concept of psychological control of self. And we have to reset that back to the normal, natural position. But we have gotten so far away from the simplicity of that process that we literally have to change our belief dynamic. And I think that we all can do that. And I hope it doesn't take a measure of danger, but literally that's what we're boarding on now. So I'll sit back and listen, brother. Keep doing it. I'm keeping listening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Davis. Okay, we're going to jump into this video. Let me pull it up and then set it, and then we can go from there. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Oh, wow, that's cool. We jumped right back to where we were. Hold on one second. Here you go. Okay.
My election in 2006.
I can't think of anything more important to do with my life than to try and save our democracy, because the vote is the very core of that democracy. If our vote doesn't count...
Oops, hold on one second. I'm sorry. I was too far. One second, everyone. Go though.
Period.
It really is nonpartisan. And the manipulation that goes on is by party operatives at a pretty high level.
This cannot be viewed through a partisan prism. It's just simply not the case that Democrats care about a transparent process and Republicans don't. The reason why that perception has arisen is because Republicans have been winning elections and it's Democrats who've been aggrieved.
This issue really is the hub at the center of all the other...
I'm sorry, everyone. I put it in the wrong spot. One sec. I'm so sorry. All right, here we go. That was it. Okay, here we go. Sorry about that.
If you don't know that your vote is counted and counted fairly, why then we have no democracy. It becomes ruled by a small group of elite insiders who manipulate what looks like a democracy for their own advantage. They're happy with the way it is right now. When some voters are intimidated, some voters don't participate, we make a burden on voting so that they get to rule instead of the will of the people. Here we are exporting democracy around the world, not only in Iraq, but many other countries, Ukraine with the Orange Revolution. And some of those countries have a better voting system than we do. Give me a break. We owe the American people a better job of this so that it's simple and clear. You vote and your vote will count.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes.
How do you know that to be the case?
Because in October of 2000, I wrote a prototype for President Congressman Tom Feeney at the company I worked for in Oviedo, Florida, that did just that.
And would that program that you designed be something that elections officials could detect?
They'd never see it.
And your testimony is under oath?
Yes, sir.
And the testimony you've given is true?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. 2000, I was working for Yang Enterprises, which was a company in Oviedo, Florida, and their chief lobbyist, their corporate attorney, and Speaker of the House of Florida was Tom Feeney.
Tom Feeney was the general counsel and registered lobbyist for Yang Enterprises, even while he was Speaker of the Florida House.
He came in one day, one of my first introductions to him, and he wanted us to build a vote flipping software.
He was asked by Tom Feeney to create essentially a vote rigging software prototype.
My interpretation initially was that he wanted to prevent the evil Democrats, because I was a Republican, from cheating. So we know how bad you are. So.
He's a Republican, I'm a Republican, which, you know, immediately makes him the good guy right away. So obviously he's not going to try and, you know, steal votes.
He wanted it to run a Windows platform, be touchscreen capable. He wanted it to not have any additional hardware, so you didn't have to bring in a keyboard, you didn't have to sit across the street in a truck. You could just sit there and punch a button, and the votes all flip.
And the third thing he wanted was that he wanted it so that in the source code, you could not see the fact that it was being flipped. Well, not only is you shouldn't be doing that, but you can't do that. You cannot hide in the source code. Done deal. I can't do it. Nobody else can either.
Tom Feeney is best known for being the guy in the 2000 election. No matter what the Supreme Court decided, he was going to assure that the electoral votes went to George W. Bush. He had previously, in 1994, been the running mate to Jeb Bush in Jeb's initial bid for governor in Florida, which he lost.
So I built it for him, gave it to Mrs. Yang along with a sheet on how you prevent vote fraud. She said, "You don't understand. In order to get this contract, we have to hide the vote fraud in the source code. This is to flip the vote in South Florida."
Which, you know, I'm thinking, what are you, a crook?
We can only assume that that's what Feeney told her. For some reason, that's what she felt, that's what she knew, and that's what she told Clint Curtis. And that's what he has in his sworn affidavit.
You know, he had all sort of, a lot of political theory about, you know, you don't have to actually beat the Democrats in the Democratic area, you just have to reduce the margin enough so overall it weakens it, and you win that way. I mean, he's just a wild man. I mean, he was willing to do anything to win. And I'm thinking, well, these people are crooked, but they're probably crazy. No one's going to sit by and let them do this anyway. You know, they tried to bribe me to come back to them. Eventually it got up to, you know, $1 million. They gave me $1 million to come back. Then it was $1 million to just leave Tallahassee. And Feeney will get me a job anywhere I want to work. Anywhere. Name the price, name the location, you're there.
Now that you've got your vote and you want to flip it, you hit the R, hit the S, and it flips. Bush wins. That simple. 24 lines of code, you never see it.
Kind of felt responsible, like I wrote a blueprint for him. Not that I'm the only one in the world who could do that, you know. Any baby programmer would know how to do that. It is super easy. It takes nothing. It's just some hidden buttons on a screen. You hit the little hidden button, it gives 51% to the guy you want to win, gives the other 49. So it doesn't matter how you vote, the machine votes for you.
So in other words, there is absolutely no assurance whatsoever on anything with regard to these machines.
Absolutely none, unless you look at the source code and make sure it's safe before it goes out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Congressman Mathers. I know that Congresswoman...
Clint Curtis announced that he was going to run against Tom Feeney for that U.S. House seat. He changed his party affiliation from Republican to Democrat,
One of the reasons I switched is because all those Republican values of balanced budget and personal privacy, the Republicans have just discarded that.
He did extraordinarily well for a first-time politician.
We'll actually compare our vote totals to the vote totals that came in precinct by precinct. We'll find out if any flip occurred, and we'll validate.
He and his campaign have, since the election, been going door to door, getting affidavits from voters how they voted in the election.
If we can find several precincts where we have more voters who said they voted for me than the votes show, that puts into question not only my totals, but the whole election.
In some of these areas, he's finding 20% swings against him. And he's got the affidavits from voters to prove it.
I grew up thinking you're supposed to do the right thing. And that's what I do. I'll do it until someone makes it so I can't. There's no room in our Republican form of government for either side, any party, to be rigging elections. And my feeling is, Democrat or Republican, if they're rigging elections or screwing with the electoral process, they've got to go, period.
It really is nonpartisan, and the manipulation that goes on is by party operatives at a pretty high level.
This cannot be viewed through a partisan prism. It's just simply not the case that Democrats care about a transparent process and Republicans don't. The reason why that perception has arisen is because Republicans have been winning elections and it's Democrats who've been aggrieved.
This issue really is the hub at the center of all the other concerns that people have. And you see people, whether it's Save the Whales or Save the Forests or Save Social Security, whatever it is, working very hard on these individual issues and perhaps not recognizing that if elections continue to be rigged, their work is going to be for naught.
Democratic rank-and-file voters and Republican rank-and-file voters have to come together, understand they have a common interest in having a proper voting system, and fight on that basis to get public officials to improve the system.
I'm Bruce Funk. I'm from Emmett County, Utah, a small rural community of Clawson. I'm a Republican. I have been elected county clerk in Emmett County for 23 years. The vote, I think that's the individual thing that makes this country, and throughout my whole career, that was the thing that I oversaw and was most important. Well, we went through the acceptance and testing, and I found that I had 8 machines which had low backup memory. And I'm thinking, well, what does this mean? Theobald's responses, I haven't received any from the people I've talked to. I know at this time that the election official for the state of Utah has no election experience. As an election official, I thought it was my duty to assure the integrity of elections. And I'm looking at a situation that I didn't know what it meant.
So we came in and took a look at these machines and found what was later reported in the New York Times as the nuclear bomb of security flaws for electronic voting machines.
A new study finds hackers can easily tamper with electronic voting machines by installing a virus to disable machines and change vote totals.
They were shocked at what they found. It was the most severe security problem they had ever seen.
Since then, we have seen one test after another showing these systems can be hacked with a virus in 60 seconds, which can be passed from machine to machine, flip an entire election, and no one will ever see it.
At Princeton University, Professor Edward Felton shows us how to hack a Diebold voting machine.
The voting machine virus is on this memory card.
The machines all use the same key to unlock them. a very low-tech number, commonly used for luggage or desk furniture.
Anyone who can get the door open and stick in a memory card can insert a virus or do whatever they like.
The Princeton Group only studied one type of machine. That model will be used in 357 counties across the country by 10% of the voters in November.
Any time you find a problem in a machine that's manufactured, that's used in thousands and thousands of locations, counting millions of votes, it's not an issue with Emory County, Utah. This is an issue of national security.
This only happened because a guy like Bruce Funk said, I'd like to know what we're using. Come on in and give them a look.
It could change the outcome of every election. Whoever was in power could stay in power. Manipulate elections, whether on a local level, state level, or a national level.
The lawyers for Diebold were flown to Emory County, where they had a meeting behind closed doors, and when Bruce Funk, an elected official, showed up for work the next day, he was locked out of his office.
They did not want to know what was in those machines. They were not interested. They were strictly to get rid of me. The commission chairman came by my office. I said, I'm not going to resign. I said, I believe I need to be here and document exactly what Diebold does to those machines. And he told me that's not going to happen.
It was treated as a national security issue by the top scientists in the U.S. It made the New York Times, the Washington Post, Newsweek, CNN, but Bruce Funk lost his job. How do you have a private corporation come in and exercise any kind of control over an elected official? Basically, what that means is you had a private corporation saying, the will of the people doesn't count in Emory County, Utah. You elected him, we say he's out, so he's out.
This has not been easy. It has been very hurtful. I have lost a lot of good friends, but down in my heart I know it's right. We have to fight this battle, and we don't stop for a moment.
Nobody had his back, but what he did actually could have saved us from an even bigger meltdown in 2006 had they not solved that problem. It was so bad that states pulled the machines off the shelves and issued emergency security fixes at the last minute before the primary election in 2006.
I can't think of anything more important to do with my life than to try and save our democracy, because the vote is the very core of that democracy. If our vote doesn't count, how can we call this democracy?
The question of which party controls the House or the Senate or both may turn on one, two, who knows, maybe half a dozen elections, so close that the final outcome will rest on compromised vote counts.
The mainstream media finally did help this election in 2006. We saw a lot of stories in the month or two leading up to the election.
California officials have learned in recent days that the state's most widely used electronic voting machines can be manipulated to let voters cast ballots over and over and over again.
If we can hack into...
Brother Dave, we can't hear you.
Sorry about that, Scotty. I put myself on mute. Okay, everyone, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. I hope that you are all catching what's really going on here, and I would love to hear from you once the video is over, so that you can call in and tell us what you think is being said here, and how do we solve this, because this is something that we definitely need to talk about. So we're going to go to a commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll finish out the video, then we'll open up the phone line to talk to you. We'd love to hear from you. I will give my interpretation of it all and what I think we should be doing. But, of course, it doesn't make it right. It's just an opinion. An opinion doesn't make something right. But we definitely would love to hear from you, because this is something that we are going to continue to battle and deal with the adverse side of it until we absolutely take it on ourselves. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to go to a commercial break, when we come out of the commercial break, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound, then hit star 61. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
The world will soon place you and your family members under geopolitical, economic, and social unrest. Are you ready? If your answer is no, then this is the opportune time for you to become informed, aware, and prepared for soon coming events. For only $25 per month, become educated in the area of precious metals and disaster preparedness for your home and businesses. For more information, email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Because becoming an entrepreneur is very empowering, we would also like to encourage you in firing your boss. Learn the wonderful opportunities in the Forex market. Find out more about these proven strategies at www.imarketsliveinternational.com. The time has come that we become empowered instead of exploited.
You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound, 549032 pound. To signal the host, it's star 61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. We are going to go back to the video now. Let me just reset it up, and we can pick it up from where we left off. Here we go.
Was in power, could stay in power, ooh, manipulate elections, whether on a local level, state level, or a national.
Took a look at these machines and found what was later reported in the New York Times as the nuclear bomb of security flaws for electronic voting machines.
A new study finds hackers can easily tamper with electronic voting machines by installing a virus to disable machines and change vote totals.
They were shocked at what they found. It was the most severe security problem they had ever seen.
Since then, we have seen one test after another showing these systems can be hacked with a virus in 60 seconds, which can be passed from machine to machine, flip an entire election, and no one will ever see it.
At Princeton University, Professor Edward Felton shows us how to hack a Diebold voting machine.
The voting machine virus is on this memory card.
The machines all use the same key to unlock them. a very low-tech number commonly used for luggage or desk furniture.
Anyone who can get the door open and stick in a memory card can insert a virus or do whatever they like.
The Princeton Group only studied one type of machine. That model will be used in 357 counties across the country by 10% of the voters in November.
Any time you find a problem in a machine that's manufactured, that's used in thousands and thousands of locations, counting millions of votes, it's not an issue with Emory County, Utah. This is an issue of national security.
This only happened because a guy like Bruce Funk said, I'd like to know what we're using. Come on in and give them a look.
It could change the outcome of every election. Whoever was in power could stay in power. Manipulate elections, whether on a local level, state level, or a national level.
The lawyers for Diebold were flown to Emory County, where they had a meeting behind closed doors, and when Bruce Funk, an elected official, showed up for work the next day, he was locked out of his office.
They did not want to know what was in this machine. They were not interested. They were strictly there to get rid of me. The commission chairman came by my office. I said, I'm not going to resign. I said, I believe I need to be here and document exactly what Diebold does to those machines. And he told me, he said, that's not going to happen.
It was treated as a national security issue by the top scientists in the U.S. It made the New York Times, the Washington Post, Newsweek, CNN, but Bruce Funk lost his job. How do you have a private corporation come in and exercise any kind of control over an elected official? Basically, what that means is you had a private corporation saying the will of the people doesn't count in Emory County, Utah. You elected him. We say he's out, so he's out.
This has not been easy. It has been very hurtful. I have lost a lot of good friends, but down in my heart, I know it's right. And we have to fight this battle, and we don't stop for a moment.
Nobody had his back, but what he did actually could have saved us from an even bigger meltdown in 2006 had they not solved that problem. It was so bad that states pulled the machines off the shelves and issued emergency security fixes at the last minute before the primary election in 2006.
I can't think of anything more important to do with my life than to try and save our democracy, because the vote is the very core of that democracy. If our vote doesn't count, how can we call us democracy?
The question of which party controls the House or the Senate or both may turn on one, two, who knows, maybe half a dozen elections, so close that the final outcome will rest on compromised vote counts.
The mainstream media finally did help this election in 2006. We saw a lot of stories in the month or two leading up to the election.
California officials have learned in recent days that the state's most widely used electronic voting machines can be manipulated to let voters cast ballots over and over and over again.
If you can hack into computers,
sure,
at some of the most secret federal agencies in the country, why can't people hack into these voting machines?
And this is going to impact elections. And I'm not talking about Republicans or Democrats. It's going to screw candidates on both sides of the aisle.
Throughout 2006, election after election in the primaries, we saw systems break down. We saw voters not be able to even cast a vote.
In Maryland, the recent primaries were such a debacle and disaster that the governor is now arguing that the state should altogether scrap the entire electronic voting system and return immediately to paper ballots.
I doubt whether it can be fixed in 7 weeks. And so my issue here is you have an election coming, you have a lot of people, a couple million people voting. Why take a risk?
The public outcry over electronic voting machines is intensifying.
Across the country, there is a groundswell of action to challenge electronic voting machines and their use in November.
There's a Wall Street Journal article that talked about this new breed of activists who are out there and who no longer trust the way our election system goes.
Just the reality at the voting office, and guess what? No electricity in predominantly black districts around here. And yet, for some reason, there's electricity right across the street, but there's no electricity here at the voting place.
What you're seeing is citizens' vigilance at the grassroots level.
Just to be sure that my vote was counted correctly, I took my cell phone into the booth, and I held up my ID along with the vote that I cast that was lit up, and I took a picture of it. I just wanted to be absolutely sure that it was documented right.
If you want this country to do everything in its power to protect you, and at the same time lay the foundation of peace for generations to come, vote Republican.
It was basically free fall for the Republicans in the month of October. There was Mark Foley, the major scandal.
Florida Republican Congressman Mark Foley resigned today, effective immediately, after sexually explicit messages sent to underage boys surfaced.
A scandal like this could end up helping the Democrats win more seats in November.
And the news from Iraq was all bad.
As the problems in Iraq get worse, so do problems for Republicans here at home.
52% of likely voters told us they plan to vote for the Democratic candidate for the House, 34% the Republican. That 18% gap is the biggest since we started asking the question back in 1980.
What a difference 2 years has made. 38% approve of the job Mr. Bush is doing, while 60% disapprove.
The most fundamental, essential ingredient of a democracy is, from time to time, a vote of the people. The climate now is to sweep them out of office, and the question is, will our election work the way it's supposed to allow that to happen?
We cannot project that the Democrats will be the majority in the next House of Representatives. That means Nancy Pelosi will be the Speaker of the House.
If you look at race by race, it was close. The cumulative effect, however, was not too close. It was a thumping.
Because the Democratic Party won the 2006 election, many people came away with the feeling that our electoral process had worked. But that just wasn't the case. There was more citizen vigilance in 2006, and that probably did some good, but the vast majority of election fraud is now computerized, and it's invisible.
When it's counted inside a machine that no one can see, it doesn't matter how many people you have watching.
In one congressional race, there are charges that thousands of votes were cast but not counted, and the results were close enough that those votes could well have made the difference. And where is this congressional district? In Florida.
In Sarasota, as the 13th congressional district, there was an apparent undervote, there was an undervote, of 18,000.
Republican Vern Buchanan issued a statement claiming victory by a razor-thin margin, 368 votes.
We won!
Not so fast, says Democrat Christine Jennings, who couldn't help noticing that in the Democratic-leaning Sarasota County part of the district, 18,000 people, or 13% of voters who cast ballots in other races, had no recorded vote in this race.
It's unheard of in a very competitive race for 13% of the voters to say,
we're not voting. We don't care.
One of the things I want to find out is what happened to 18,000 votes that were not counted for this election.
Sarasota County uses a controversial electronic voting machine that gives no paper record. These undervotes were concentrated in Democratic strongholds, and the great majority of these votes would have been cast for Christine Jennings, the Democratic candidate, giving her the victory.
Go, Chris, go!
People want to know that their vote counts. And this is about the confidence that the voters of this country have in their voting system.
In 2006, I mean, we were set up in a war room in Philadelphia. We were better prepared for 2006 than we were for 2004. We certainly had our eye on the official exit polls run by the networks and the Associated Press. They actually released results of these exit polls before they were adjusted to conform to the vote totals, as has become the custom. And these results showed a resounding Democratic victory of 11.5%. When the vote totals came in later that night and the next day, the Democratic victory was 7.6%. And that represented a loss of 3 million votes nationwide. The exit poll was based on interviews with more than 10,000 voters, and this group gave President Bush a higher approval rating than the population at large. So this was no oversampling of Democrats. If anything, they leaned more Republican. Statistically speaking, when you interview that many voters, the odds that your polling will be off by 4% are about 1 in 10,000. Election 2006 is certainly not telling us that pre-election concerns were overblown and it's safe to go back in the water. It gives us no reason to assume that our elections will be run fairly and honestly. Just the opposite. Look at the pattern of the past few elections. We have every reason to believe that the 2008 election is going to be manipulated. And we have a hell of a lot of work to do in a very short time to safeguard our next election, and by extension, all the elections to come.
The notion of stolen elections is something we assign to third world countries, but not to this beacon of freedom and democracy that we like to view ourselves as. I mean, it's just something we don't want to consider.
For some reason, this issue makes me feel this tick, 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 and I don't quite know what's ticking, but I just feel that if we don't solve this thing pretty quickly, we could lose everything within just a few years.
We have grown to believe that democracy within itself has the power to intrinsically protect itself and defend itself. And we don't believe that it's on our shoulders as individuals, that we have to stand up and take measures to defend this democracy. We just assume that it's going to perpetuate itself. And it's up to us to be vigilant and have stamina and be determined. It's the individuals who have to make that stick.
Okay, everyone, that's the end of the video. I will put that, post that video inside of Tando Radio Show Facebook page so you can check that out for yourself and you can see it again and go over it again. I think there was a lot of things that were said there that really need our attention. And I would say to you, a couple of questions for you all. I would love to hear from you. Give us a call. Tell us what you thought and what you think of the video and on the discussion itself about voting. with all of the voting fraud, how can that be mitigated, and what is the steps that needs to be taken? I think there was a lot of clues there in what is going to happen in the future and some of the things that are in the plan. Because I would say to you all question, why would this type of publication come out? Does it serve someone's purpose, and does it serve an agenda of someone else? If this was such a fraudulent system, how easy would it have been to discover this fraud and allow it to go in the way that it's going? Could there be more to it? Basically, what I'm saying is, this a trick that's being played here for the general population because this type of information is coming out? I believe so. Do you? We'd love to hear from you. Next would be, they talked about the fraudulent system. What system, how should this be remedied? How can it be, how is it that we can actually have a system that works for the people? What's your take on that? Then, I hope that you heard when they said the emphasis on the hackers. The emphasis on the hacker was very, very important, because this is how they slowly start to tell you things that are going to adversely affect you for the agenda of those controlling entities in the future. And they kept repeatedly talking about hacking, hacking, hackers, hackers. And that is them telling you that hackers are going to be a very significant problem in the future. And it's not just because of, you know, you say, well, of course, it's because of computers. Well, who bought you computers? It's because this is the time for hackers. This is going to be the hackers' play that we're going to see. And I hope you caught that, and what's your take on that? Then, they said, there's going to be a new breed of activists. Did you hear that? A new breed of activists? What do you think that means? It's, to me, it has a whole lot of meaning, and some of the things that we should definitely, definitely talk about. And he talked about the power going out. Predictive programming. Letting you know. So, we'd love to hear from you on what you thought and some of the things that you think need to be done. How can we remedy this? How can this be fixed? Give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#. Then hit *61. I'll see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up.
I have some thoughts.
Love to hear. Go ahead, Scotty.
Let me first state that I was a victim of vote flipping. Here in North Carolina, during that election. And North Carolina was also mentioned, in this clip, although they did not mention my county. And my county never made it into, you know, the, lawsuit, that was filed for those counties in North Carolina. But, I was voting for a third party candidate, and these were the touchscreen voting machines. It wasn't fill out a paper ballot and then, you know, feed it into the machine. Everything was just touchscreen. You know, it was no paper ballot whatsoever. And I remember, pressing the, who was in that? Who was that third party candidate?
It was Randy Johnson. It was Johnson.
No, not Gary Johnson. It wasn't this 2012. No, this was like when Bush,
I know what you're talking about.
Who was running?
Oh, yes.
He's known as a consumer advocate.
The consumer report advocate guy.
I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, he was the third party candidate. And when I clicked the button or pressed the button on the screen for him, that thing flipped. And I saw Bush name come up. I swear to God, man, that thing flipped. That vote, all right? And so that happened in another county. Apparently must have been more widespread, or either somebody caught it and reported it or whatnot. And so there was a lawsuit filed, and we no longer in North Carolina in this county use those machines anymore. Now we have the paper ballot that you fill out, and then you feed it into a machine that looks like a copier machine. So then if there's a challenge, then at least you got the paper ballot to count. See, with them before, there was nothing to count. There was no paper trail. There was nothing.
Ralph Nader.
Ralph Nader, thank you. I had voted for Ralph Nader, and it flipped it to Bush. Okay, so that happened. I know that happened. All right, or this is an issue. And then soon after that, I became affiliated. Well, I shouldn't say affiliated, although I did interview the woman who started it. Blackboxvoting.org. I had not even thought about even checking them out again. I had totally forgot about them over the years until today. And so I went there, and some of the issues that you just talked about, some of the questions are being addressed on their website right now. So I think that's some of that might be the activist, the type of activist that they're talking about and whatnot. My suggestion is, and I was happy to see black people in my county who were poll watchers, okay? And most of the poll watchers are there, you know, some of them, to make sure that the rules are being adhered to, that people that are allowed to vote aren't turned away, and you know, those who aren't supposed to be voting, you know, you can't, if you think somebody, you know, they do allow you to challenge that person, but I ain't too concerned about that, because voter fraud is real. You know, that's just something that the Republicans in this state sold to us. We had 5 cases of what could be called voter fraud, and 2 of those cases was where an elderly woman, one of her children took her to vote. The other person didn't know they took her to vote, and I guess this woman didn't realize she already voted, and she voted again. That was not intentional fraud. That was just 5 cases. Just 5 cases. So that's why now we're fighting the voter ID law. Now, the elections that I think they focus on stealing, I've only seen evidence of the Bush election. That's the only one I've seen evidence of. I don't recall any reports about vote flipping going for, like, when you're, you know, electing local candidates or state representatives. I haven't seen it. But most of the vote flipping, or, you know, this electronic voter fraud that I have seen, has always been tied to the presidential races and whatnot. And so, you know, you asked the question, well, what are some of the things that we could make sure that our elections are really free and fair in all of these shenanigans? Well, that, I believe we have to become involved in every level of the process. We, as black people, I'm speaking specifically as a black voter, as a demographic and whatnot, is that we have to have our people at every level, man, infiltrating so that we can see what's going on, and they're not just allowed, you know, to get away with this type of stuff. You know, these are also, you know, who determines who gets the contract, like a Diebo and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, those are processes that are determined at the local level, you know, how these contracts are awarded. And so if we ain't involved in that process, and more importantly, if we're not even aware, you know, of the process, and you know, when they are awarding these contracts to these companies and whatnot, then, you know, of course, you know, if we're not aware of them, how can we fix a problem that we're not even aware that exists, you know?
Right.
And so those are just some of my suggestions, but blackboxvoting.org is a good resource, and they've been around for a very long time, and all those things that was raised in that video, the things that you raised, they are, as I'm looking over it, it is addressing these sort of issues, and they seem to have some good suggestions. But listen, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to shut up and listen to what everybody else had to say. This is something that I haven't stated in this election season. Okay. is even if you don't want to vote, I feel like you should register to vote. And I feel like if you're able, everyone should get driver's license. Why do I say that? Well, because when I look at the jury box and how people are being convicted over nonviolent, unconstitutional, liberty-stealing drug laws, these victimless legislated crimes, even prostitution and whatnot, where, you know, two individuals establish a personal contract. There's no violence involved if both are willing to enter into this contract. Why should we waste resources prosecuting and jailing and imprisoning people like that? And so in order for us to get on these juries, that's the only way. And so it's either through voter registration database that they pick the jury pool, or the driver's license database where they pick the jury pool. Now, is that all that we have to do? Is just register to vote to get on it? No, because they practice racism in jury selection. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure do.
They practice racism. Okay, but I felt like even if we don't vote, if we're registered to vote or we had a driver's license according to your state and how they pick the jury pool, that if we overwhelm the system, you know what I'm saying, and created such a large pool of black potential jurors, it would be harder for them to practice racism through the jury process. And then we also have to challenge them. You know, state of North Carolina, you know, they have been having these lawsuits in regards to jury selection. So, you know, the problem is a huge problem. It has so many different levels, there is no easy answer. But, again, I'm waiting for this corporation to dissolve, man. I'm waiting on the revolution to start because I just, you know, right now my activities is just trying to minimize the enslavement and the impact that, you know, our people are under this current system. I want this system to end. I think we need a new republic. But until the revolution starts, I got to be involved in some kind of activity to advocate, you know, for our brothers and sisters that's being preyed upon.
Yes, no, Scotty, I mean, those are all great points. And that's actually, you know, it's so funny. I was listening to a person, and we are all pretty much saying the same thing. And I'm going to share my opinion in a second, and I definitely want to hear what you think too, Scotty, of that. If you'd like to get on the conversation, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, hit *61. And you can definitely chime in on this. This is something that's very, very important because this is talking about our everyday way of life. And would love to hear from you as to what you're noticing, what you think should be remedied for the whole thing. Because one of the things that's so, so important is that we don't speak, and we do not, when we don't speak, we are not creating life. Every time we speak, we create life. We give energy behind something. And it's so, so important that we say what it is that we need to do, and so that it can be energized and thought about, and actually, you know, going back and forth and take out some of the best part and refine it and sharpen it to where it can be the perfect example or the perfect solution, because there are perfect solutions. I believe that they are. But see, when we put in that there are none, that is the setup that the program wants to have. Check this out. Get in on this conversation. We'd love to hear from you. If you've never called Tando Radio Show before, now's the time for you to do that. We'd love to hear from you. And if you've called before, no problem. Every person's voice is unique and wanted and necessary. So give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. Then hit *61. I'll see you in queue and bring you up, because I think one of the first things, you know, and Scotty talked about the new, said that he thought that those were some of the new activists. I definitely believe that, but I think there is also another new activist, and it's going to be a agitator, the provocateur. Those provocateurs are there, but there's going to be a new provocateur, and that new provocateur is going to be, one part of it is going to be the hackers, and the extension of the hacking. So they're telling you that they're going to change this voting system so that they need to put it to where they can control it, where it is where hackers can't get involved. And these are the exact same problems that they created this problem. Now they're going to allow it to get so big that the people will demand a solution instead of the people coming up with the solution. My whole thing in this whole thing is that we as the people have to come up with the solution. So let me just see if this caller wanted to chime in real quick before I get going. Welcome caller to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and did you have a comment or question that you wanted to weigh in on?
Brother Davis again. I'm getting ready to jump out the car, but I wanted to say real quick, because people have to understand the dynamic of deception that is going on here, that psychologically we have been brainwashed to believe it's acceptable. Again, we have to service the understanding of personal growth and self, because it's really simplistic on how we can approach it, but we have to change our belief system to think that we are going to make a difference. Right now, most people say, and I hear it all the time, well, what can I do? Well, first of all, you got to do something for something to change. If you start with yourself and work outward, you'll find that there are other people who are doing the same thing. And if not, they'll see you do it and realize they can do it themselves. I just wanted to add that, brother. And listen, I'm going to step out for about 20 minutes, but I'm going to dial back up just to listen.
Okay, great, great. Great points. And it's so true. And my thing is that it's all about you, the individual, the unique individual that God Almighty created. We can no longer have leaders. We need to have a leaderless movement. So this is what I think, some of the things. One, they allow this stuff to start to come out because they weren't going to hide it. They wanted it to come out so that you could see that there was a problem. And then they said that, you know, that democracy is being stolen. We don't have votes. We don't have democracy. Well, guess what? Democracy has already been stolen because there's never been a transfer of power ever. The same individuals doing the exact same things with different faces and different names. There's never been a transfer of power from the corporations, the agenda, to the will of the people. See, they write that down eloquently, and they talk about it in an eloquent speech, but it has no meaning and practice to it fundamentally. There's no deeds behind that. The creed is there, but there are no deeds. They created, but there are no real actions. There's never been a transfer of power to the people. That's because we as the people have continued to do and to go and to vote and to go into their system of what they have established. We have to establish this as the people. The different organizations create an organization, or just create the organization of you from the universe of self. And you start to do things. That's one of the things I think is really, really important. Another thing that's really, really important, as Scotty said with the registering and the jury. The jury is the most important place for every citizen to be. We need to get rid of judges. Let me tell you why we need to get rid of judges, because the judges is really instituting and making sure that the justice system is in place, and it has no justice for the people. Any person that's ever accused of a crime should be brought before people absent of a judge. The only people that should be there is the person that is going to be the accuser and a defender for the person, and then just the jury. And the jury itself decides if something has been wrong. And where should this, in my opinion, where should this jury be comprised of? It should be comprised of the everyday person. If you have a driver's license, if you can, what Scotty was talking about, the jury pool is racist in itself, because they can get rid of jurors.
Right,
and one
right,
of the things
right.
one of the things that I believe is that you can't get rid of any juror. And what you do is that you have a jury and you increase the jury pool. What do I mean by that? Instead of being tried by 12, I think it should be 20 people. And it should be a random picking of the 20 people. And that can be facilitated, but it has to be done by us, the people. We cannot rely upon individuals to do that for us. We have to put it together ourselves.
You know, Brother Dave, on the question of expanding the jury, I don't like the current system. I don't think that I should be excluded from a jury pool because I don't have a driver's license. I don't think I should be excluded from a jury pool because I'm not a registered voter. All right. I think if I'm a resident of that county, then if I can show my residential address and show that I am indeed a resident of that county, then I should be able to serve on the jury. It shouldn't be those qualifiers. The only qualifier should be if I'm a resident of that particular jurisdiction or that county. But I will also say, because of the system, because we know we have racist individuals among us, I also think that you should be given an empathy test to screen out whether or not you're coming into the process with preconceived or biases and whatnot.
Right.
They have developed tests for that. And I had actually interviewed about something else, but I talked to him later about, man, what if we could take these tests and then, you know, to be on the jury, you had to take this test. And if it says, if it comes out that you're a racist or whatnot, then I don't think you should be able to sit on that jury or whatnot. I think it should be a real jury of your peers. And whatnot.
Right.
And, you know, I ain't got that formulated, you know, down in my mind yet, but I just want to acknowledge that racism is still a problem.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely, definitely is. And I think that the jury pool should be selected based off of the crime that was alleged to have happened. And what I mean by that, let's say it was a racially motivated murder or something of that line. What I believe should happen is that you're going to have to look at the contents of the so-called allegations. So if, let's say the state is going to bring a case against you, they have to state what that case is going to be, and that can be the only thing that they could bring against you. If they're going to play, you know, and from that whole thing, what happens is that you look at what the case is going to be and you devise a jury around that to protect to give the more likelihood that you can have an impartial jury. And I think that the jury should never be able to see the accused. Only hear the case.
Man, I never heard anybody put that forth. You are so, so right. All they should have, I mean, let's say if a person has an advocate that's advocating for them, you know, you should only hear from the prosecutor and you should only hear from the defense attorney. Is that what you're talking about? Or
exactly.
Or the
case and the witnesses.
And the
you
witnesses.
Should never be able to see the witnesses.
Or the victim or the accused.
Exactly. You should only thing that you should ever be able to see is the evidence and hear the case. Should never ever be able to see the witnesses, never be able to see the accused. The accused name should never ever be used in the case. What difference does that make? You really have to hide everything about the case so people can just focus on the case. And that's how
and
it
witness,
should be.
Witness testimony can just be in writing.
Testimony, it be in writing. But see, I believe that the witness should be able to be questioned, but their voice and everything else should be distorted to where you can't pick up anything from this individual other than what they are saying.
Good point.
Because then you can get to having a jury of your peers. And I don't think that trials should be in places that people are, if it happened in North Carolina, I actually think that the trial should be heard in California and in different places where people can't be biased. They didn't even hear about it. And the news can't report on the case of it until after it's done. And so, because you don't want to prejudice the jury, I do not believe that the jury pool should be in the place where you reside.
And that's why I have an issue. And I told my cousin this because they sell these little magazines called the Slammer that has everybody that's been arrested and with their mug shots. And they don't cost
a
dollar.
That's a potential
jury. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I told my cousin, why are you buying that, man? What are you, a gossiper or something? You want to gossip about who been arrested for what? But that does prejudice the jury.
Yes.
A potential jury.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. And I also believe that, there could be when it comes to, there should be actual training for people in the law, in school. You shouldn't have jurors going into the general population should understand and be schooled by the law so they know it, so we get rid of juries. You should not have where you have to be read what the law is and what you need to decide on. You should be taught the law, one of the things throughout our whole existence, because you should have tutorials on commercials for TV and here, so people can understand this is what the law is and this is what it here, so that our citizens become informed on the laws. And so I know we're talking about the voters, but see, this is what happens when you start to do that. Then what happens is that all of the laws have to be created by the citizens themselves, and they can only be one-liners. What I mean by one-liners, it is against the law to run the red light. That's it. It is against the law to murder. That's it. Because what they do in these laws is that they actually codify them in other ways by having them, in Congress, they'll have a bill, and the bill will be 4,000 pages. No, no, no. There could be no bill that can go into law that is not longer than a paragraph. Anything longer than a paragraph or three sentences cannot be a law. Why? So that you know exactly what your laws are, and they can't be subjugated or circumvented by hidden things in it, hiding things in it. And this goes with the – how does this go for voting? Because once you start to institute these things, now you can start to institute the overall where you don't have professional politicians. No person could be a politician. They can only represent the people from this standpoint. The people decide the law, and they can only read what the people want as far as bills. They can't create bills. They can't advocate bills. And they can't be a politician and get paid for it for more than a year. And it's a set price. So that now you're killing lobbying. There can be no lobbying of laws. There can be no lobbying of the lawmakers. It can only be enacted by the people. And there can't be any Supreme Court judge. There can't be, there is an appeals process. And it just goes to other people in the jury. And in the appeal process, what it does is the jury pool gets bigger. Now you have to convince more people. Then you have to convince more people, and that be the process. And for every person that's on the jury pool, they are paid to be on that jury pool more than what they get paid at their job. What I mean by that, if someone is on a jury pool, they get paid $1,000 a week. Well, they have to get paid $1,500 a week and take this from the taxes that they misused and miscued in the black budgets and everything else. And then what we do, I think, is really, really important that we understand and put into place, is that all races for political position is at a local level only. There are no senators that go off to Washington. If you're going to be a so-called state representative, then you have to be in that state only. And if you are a local state representative, you have to be locally where the people can reach you. And you don't devise any bills. Everything that that has to be done has to come from the push of the people. From the budgets to how much is spent to how much is collected. They can't formulate budgets. Then what you're going to do is you're going to take away the professional politician. Because that's a monarchy. That's a glorified monarchy. And I think that is so, so important. This is where you get rid of voting, and it's because of this. You don't vote. You have the will of the people in action. You have an action. The people decide what it is that they're going to do locally, statewide, and nationally. It's not impossible. It's not hard. It's just that we've never done it before because it's so easy to do it the way it has been done because it's filled with so much fraud. There's very easy systems to get to find out. There could be no secret vote. Every person that wants to engage in the action power has to say what it is that they are doing and make their quickly, this is who they vote, and then that's where the count starts. There is no secret ballot, and there is no secret organizations within the government itself. There is no secret FBI, no NSA, no any of that, all that other stuff. There is no top secret information or anything of that. No. Get rid of all of that. Everything is open above board because, believe me, there is no need for secrets other than to control the masses of people. But there is no Russian secret a secret you need to hide from Russia. They already know. They already know everything. Everything has to be done by the will of the people, by the will, the action of the people. The people can have a will, but a will of the people means nothing if it doesn't have the action of it. And I think this all needs to be set up locally. And we need to change all of the executive, the judicial, the legislative branch. All of that needs to be abolished and abandoned and established anew by the people. So that the transferring of power does take place. It goes from the corporations and the individuals that set up the system to one in which the people do it themselves. And no taxes can be collected that isn't repaid back to the people. And what do I mean by that? We need to have arbitrary taxes. If a printer costs $10 and raising taxes for that, you get $10 and then that's it. You do not continue to have taxing on that same printer for 25 years. No. You only pay taxes on what is owed and what is due. And then all of the taxes is generated to have a sustainable economy for every person to be able to have a living wage if they so choose. If they so choose. And you can establish, it's so much that needs to really change. And these are the things that, believe me, they talk so much about hackers in this overall program, they're going to turn the lights out by hackers. And when they do, for all of you that are out there, these are the things that you need to start to think up on how you're going to change the system that you are going to represent. The only representative of government needs to be every person that pays any form of taxes within it. And that has to be the transferring of power. We need to remove leaders. We need no leaders. We need the collective will and actions of the people. And yes, there are going to be some differences. There are going to be some fights and some struggles. But those fights and those struggles will be among the people themselves. It won't be from individuals that are having side broker deals where they're getting paid for the rest of their lives and they're fraudulently imprisoning people and fraudulently coming up with different schemes and different things and killing the people by ways of the food and the drugs and all of these other things. And we need to change our education system. We need to get rid of all schools and only have educational programs where young people education is developed around the talents of the individual. If you have a child that is an artist, that child's talent should be cultivated. And guess what? They all have different forms of artistry. Different forms of talent. So we need to identify individual contributions that a person can make in who they are individually. There's so many things that we need to really change. And I believe that it has to start with us as the people. Instead of us going to a place and sitting down and hearing someone's speech, when you're sitting down, they're acting and you're not. They're telling you when to get up, when to clap, when to come, and when to leave. And until we turn our back on that, and walk away from that system and establish a system that does represent each and every person's unique God-given ability and talent, then we're going to continue to have government, which is nothing more than a glorified ruler. It's a politically correct way to say a ruler, and politically correct is always morally wrong. So these are the things. Some of the things that I think, and voting is one of the things where I think it needs to be abolished by the people. And we don't tell the overall system that we want a change. No, we actually make the change. One of the things that not only do we need to fire our boss, we need to fire our ruler. At some point, we need to let Pharaoh go. And this is a great opportunity that I believe that we can do. And it needs to be energized by you, me, and everyone else. And then when you can see that there's a commonality that we have with every person on this planet, even if we speak different languages, we are pretty much all the same. When you meet someone from someone around the world, outside of all of the propaganda and the lies and the hate that is being taught and spewed and everything else, there is a commonality that we have. And we need to focus on those things and develop those things by ensuring that our free will is done where we live first. Because the great thing about freedom is this. Your freedom ends where someone else's begins. That's so important. And it needs to be established that the so-called politicians don't infringe upon our freedoms because they're expanding theirs. Okay, everyone. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll be back, God willing, next week. If you are interested in taking the precious metals class, you can do that. Contact me. You can text me 951-790-8330, or you can email me at wolf, W-O-L-F, the number 6, P-A-C-K-1, @gmail.com. And also, if you're interested in the Forex trading, You can go to iMarkets with the S Live International.com. Sign up there. It's $200 initial fee. And then it's $150. But once you bring three people in and you can get gain cash by way of referrals and everything else and learn to start to trade in the Forex market. They also do binary options and they're going to do futures, which I wouldn't, we'll talk about, but for those of you, I'll give you why I say, you know, stay away from that. But the Forex market is a great way because it is really what we need to be doing. And it's the same thing with the laws and everything else. The Forex markets allows you to go into the market yourself, represent yourself, and take out what you want to take out, what is owed and what is due to you, without having someone else do it for you and deceiving and stealing from you and creating their own wealth and exploiting yours. You can do it yourself. That's why I love it. It is because it is individually based. So if you're interested in that, you can go to iMarkets Live International.com. That's iMarkets Live International.com. And you can sign up there, hit the IBO member, and we'll start the process. And then I will definitely contact you once you do that. Okay, everyone, just want to thank you all. Thank you, Scotty, for being you, for being the good brother that you are, Brother Davis, and all of you, the Tando Radio Show listeners. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you later. Before you ask for a blessing, make sure to be a blessing. There's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Peace.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. You know tenderness comes from pain.